Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
And I'm Worm.
And this week on I Quit Star Trek, we've watched Dead Stop. And now we're going to argue about whether it's going to make us quit. Because I've got faith on the heart. I'm going where my heart will take me. I've got faith to believe I can do anything.
I'm struggling to find any sort of catchy little phrase to say about this episode.
You just have to watch Enterprise. Though, did you get any faith of the heart?
I did. No. I will never have faith of the heart. Okay. As much as I love Trip and I got to see Travis this time, I will rebuke the song for all eternity.
I don't know. I think you'll get it around there. I mean, it's a long road getting from there to here.
It's a long time, but you know, at some point, your time will finally be near.
Oh, this is why. This is the pain. It's been years.
it's an interesting one because there's sort of things that this episode does, which are things Enterprise should have been doing more of.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things this episode does, which is just kind of like, oh, well, you're just going to waste 45 minutes here, aren't you?
I almost feel like, I mean, it's almost like a two-parter from the previous episode, Minefield.
Which is a really good episode.
And it almost feels like they had this whole thing, like they had to pad out kind of both episodes a little bit to get the whole idea. Like the idea itself might have been...
They're trying to sort of show consequences for the last episode.
I don't remember what the last episode was.
It's the one where they run into a Romulan minefield and Malcolm is like outside the whole time.
Oh, is it when he's like trapped alone?
Yeah, basically once he goes wrong and he immediately decides he's going to die.
Yeah, and he's like very existential. Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's where his head's at.
I mean, you know, he did get skewered with a limpet mine, so.
He's got a point.
Yeah. Fine.
This would have been a bad episode to run into Star Trek in. I hope you first started somewhere more sensible.
No.
Oh dear.
Like, literally, this was, I believe, the first actual full episode of Enterprise I ever watched.
Well, that's not like the first episode of Star Trek you ever watched.
Oh, no.
Oh, thank God.
At least
I was scared.
Have that.
No, I, as a wee child in the 1980s, Star Trek, the original series, was in reruns, and they would always air it, you know, like after my afternoon cartoons. So I'd end up watching like the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and then boom, Star Trek's on.
Yeah, now I just remembered Super Mario had a cartoon, and I am. Wow, the 80s were strange.
Yes.
You know all about them, don't you, John?
Go away. It was my birthday in like a week ago, 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was your 12th birthday.
Anyway, but so you watched it in the 80s, like you were watching it TOS.
Yeah, I mean, I was a kid. And all I remember Arena, I can't remember the title now. You know, the Romulan Bird of Prey episode.
Balance of Terror.
Arena, Balance of Terror, What a Little Girls Are Made Of, and Trouble with Tribbles.
The classics.
Those are the ones I remember.
Was there a quit Star Trek moment then?
No, though I was always, whenever the end credits came on, I would quickly change the channel. Because of Balak's puppet that they show in the end credits terrified me. Balak's puppet Beautiful. Absolutely terrified me as a kid because I was like, you know, like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I can see it doing that.
Yeah. And I remember, I mean, Next Generation premiere when I was 4, I think. 87?
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been 4 then. And I remember seeing some of the early episodes of Next Generation, but shortly around that time. I mean, I was a kid. I didn't know any better. I saw, spaceships.
Mm.
But I had an evil stepmother at that point. And apparently Star Trek made me crazy, according to her. And she banned me from watching Star Trek. So I ended up quitting Star Trek around the second season or so. whenever Dr. Pulaski was on, it was sometime during the run of Dr. Pulaski.
God, that's horrible. Ugh.
I was banned from watching Star Trek. So my youthful rebellion was sneaking episodes of Next Generation when I could get away with it.
That's beautiful. That's actually beautiful. That's what we'd want. You know, I'd sneak episodes of TNG. Or definitely DS9. Yeah, don't think I'd sneak downstairs to watch this.
But I guess around, it was during the second season of Deep Space Nine. Like I remember seeing the finale of Next Generation live. I remember watching it when it premiered, and I started able to watch Star Trek regularly during the second season of Deep Space Nine. So while I was forced to quit Star Trek, I always wanted to come back.
And you did.
And, yeah. And Voyager was the first Star Trek series I was able to watch unimpeded.
How'd that go for you?
it's always going to have a special place in my heart.
Okay. We'll forgive that.
Fine, I guess. I'll allow it. I'm so upset about Voyager. It's okay.
It's certainly a Star Trek series that ran for 7 seasons in the 90s. Unlike this, which ran for not enough seasons in the 2000s and gave us Dead Stop, which we're going to get into now.
Now you're opening like a can, like before we even discuss the episode.
Okay.
To be prepared. Yeah, you know, this is an authentic podcast, and that means that we have to be authentically depressed.
Next week is going to be like at the high. Okay, but before we get into it, I did mention earlier that I just feel or should I say that later? Because it's about the closing theme, technically.
Yeah, we'll do it later. So, they don't even bother with the last time. It's just kind of like it opens with Tucker and Archer in his pod going, basically, yeah, mate, that's fucked.
I might be able to get your warp too.
Like, oh, great, we're a decade from home. That's fucked. Which also, like, that means they're really fucking far from anywhere.
Terrifying. I like to see Trip, you know, suffering. Knowing what he's talking about. It's very, very attractive. You know, good for him, little himbo.
I'd comment, but I'm gonna get called out later.
What you want to say about my little Trip?
I'm gonna move on.
No.
Because then we have Archer's like, right, we're gonna have to ask for somebody's help, and Trip's kind of like, should we do that? Archer's like, do we really have any other option here?
Yeah, well, they're facing the sort of Voyager scenario of just being sort of trapped in space. Or what is it, 10 years? They're 10 years away from anything?
Yeah, it's not exactly 70.
No, it's not great, but still not fun.
And then we get a shot of Malcolm and his undies doing therapy, doing physiotherapy, which sucks.
He looks like he's giving birth. I thought I missed something. I thought there was a second.
They did another M-Preg.
Trip Nips Part 2. Ugh.
British Boogaloo.
I did some quick calculations here, and they're about 100 light years away from Earth.
Okay.
For it to take 10 years at the TOS warp scale.
That's fine.
Well, that means that kind of works out, because that kind of is like the Romulan border.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not get into this conversation, because me and Worm could have hours and hours of on this, and Olivia would shoot herself.
I'll just sit here supportively, but, you know, chilling.
Because we have more interesting things, like the fact that Malcolm has a regular blood worm in his leg and they can't find it, and that's just dropped. It's like, I mean, Phlox the King is like, you know, if you wanted to be fixed earlier, I can stick some more blood worms in your leg. And Malcolm's like, no, I still haven't found the last one. And then Phlox is like, oh, it'll come out eventually. And it's like, what? Where? How? Is he gonna piss it out? Or is it gonna sort of pop off his leg? How do the regular blood worms work if they're in his leg?
Yeah. Also, when you have Phlox like pushing really hard, it's like, ah! It's like almost like intentionally causing pain to Malcolm.
Yeah, what was going on? He made a little comment and was slightly concerning. It was like, what did he say about harm and pain?
Doctors can't cause harm, but they can cause pain, which... Yeah.
BDSM undertones.
Yeah.
I mean, we know about flocks and gimp suits on this podcast.
Yeah. We do have that, you know, inside info.
So then a Tellarite tells them where to go, which is nice of them.
I also kind of like DePaul's talking about the Tellarites. It's like they're, you know, all a bit awful to negotiate with, but they're trustworthy. So she had to get her, you know, Vulcan superiority in it on there.
Well, of course she did.
That's like half their personality. When they're not as cool as Spock, who actually does have a personality.
Hating other people is not a personality trait.
I mean, they get... Was it even the Tellarites? Was that... fact, it's probably part of the elaborate plan to trap them.
We'll assume that the Tellarites are real just for the sake of a blah, blah, blah conversation.
I think what's revealed later really raises the question about the Tellarite freighter.
Maybe he was a Herodotus situation. The Tellarite freighter heard it from another guy, so it's kind of like, meh.
Well, I think, like, I think they'd be completely trustworthy. It's just what we find out later, if the Tellarites knew about this station, like,
oh boy,
the implications.
So yeah, they arrive at this station and Trip's kind of like, it doesn't look big enough, and then it's typical Star Trek style, it blips with a big shiny light, and then now it opens up like a big fucking thing.
What sort of TARDIS lighting issue?
It goes like, I was going to make a TARDIS warping noise, but it just sort of goes, this is an audio format, and I'm currently sort of doing an expanding thing with my hands. Which,
like those expanding balls you get that
yeah,
you do for stress.
Should we stop doing this because this is an audio format and no one's going to get to see this?
They can hear our hands moving back and forth.
Yeah,
it's
like, hand
they
in,
look like they're doing that sort of anime move. I don't know enough about anime to describe that. Anyway,
so
it looks like an insane asylum.
In space.
To use an outdated term. Because it looks creepy. It's just full of red flags.
Yeah, the gang beam over and it's all white and the lights are flickering weirdly.
And before they even get on, like, T'Pol's like, it has a liquid helium atmosphere at -270 degrees. Like,
Christ.
Okay, one, it's liquid, so how
it's
is
not
it
atmosphere?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like humid. It's like liquid helium humid. The air is 100% humidity, so it's technically an atmosphere, but
I didn't even catch that. When so that goes away, otherwise.
Like right air, like absurd. When they scan the station beforehand, before it scans them, it's like, it's like, and like Archer's like, well, that's not very friendly.
And then it becomes friendly. Which is
imagine if it had been that atmosphere and they somehow were able to exist in it, and it's just helium voice for the entire episode. Would that make it more bearable for everyone?
My name is Captain Jonathan Archer. My name is Trip Tucker. Yeah.
I'd finally lose respect for Trip.
Walking around the ship, talking like this. Can somebody please take a clip from Deadstop and put them all in helium voice, please?
There's got to be a little TikTok filter or something for that.
Anyway, so they're basically given the quote for it, which is like warp plasma for the repairs, and Archer's kind of sus. And then Trip's like, listen, I couldn't fucking do this in a day and a half.
It would take us 3 months to do it at Jupiter Station.
Yeah.
He's having a great time at the beginning, Trip. He gets his catfish, you know, he barely has to work anymore. His job is obsolete and he's like over the moon.
I mean, the thing I always get from season 1 and 2 Enterprise is that Jupiter Station ain't shit.
One thing I liked, I have here in my notes, is like Archer is suspicious of like everything that essentially is standards Federation Starfleet protocol in the future. He's like, they're helping us. They replicate food. they don't want anything in return. It's like very suspicious of essentially everything Federation Starfleet is in the future.
Stupid sexy himbo. That's all I've got for that. But yeah, so they have. So he gets his catfish. He's pretty pleased with that. And then Malcolm's leg gets repaired by an exocomp from TNG, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah.
It's just so like, if you were a Trek, it's like, oh, that's just an exocomp. Part of it missing. But that's fun. And then there's a bit where Archer's like, I'm suspicious. And he basically, T'Pol is like, you don't like this. And Archer goes, oh, I guess I should do a better job of pressing my emotions then. It's like, fuck you, Jonathan.
Yeah, the aggression.
What the fuck was that about?
And he's complaining that it fixed the squeak in his quarters. Like,
he starts talking about gremlins.
Well, you know what? It's fair. I mean, the invasive scans, a huge red flag that basically everyone else ignored. Healing Malcolm, another red flag.
letting an Englishman live, a major red flag.
Yeah. Everyone was way too chill about it, as they often are in these episodes.
So, yeah. I have here. Let's see. Yeah, like later when Malcolm and Trip are talking about like the station.
Yeah.
You know, they're excited about everything the station does. It's like, all right, let's go investigate to see what their computer looks like. Like,
but before that, we get them being like, you know, ships in the future, they won't need engineers, they won't need tactical officers. And I'm just sort of thinking about the Enterprise D, which didn't have an engineer or a tactical officer in the first season and never got a tactical officer. I was like, oh, so I guess we're giving Gene Roddenberry the middle finger today. Good.
Disrespect.
They completely rejected his vision.
Good. Although, every time someone mentions Gene's bullshit vision, the uniforms get another pocket with a zipper.
How dare you? How dare you disrespect Gene, whose vision I'm essentially embodying. I
the sacred flame of Gene's vision.
The sacred flame of Gene's vision.
I just also like to make it...
That's very not safe for work.
Yeah. I was claiming it, and then as I was saying it, I was regretting it, because I was thinking just Ferengi sex, and Deanna's free breasts.
You mentioned it this time! Four. I didn't!
Look, he wanted Deanna to have four breasts. Not three.
Oh god.
No, it was three
exotic.
Sets.
Four is just weird.
Wait. I thought it was three sets, like two, four, six.
Okay,
that's
maybe
insane.
It was.
Yeah, it gets worse every time. There are no good options.
There's no space for that, Gene. Oh god.
Well, there are some movies in the 80s that did.
No.
Let's get those shout out those movies. Are they on Netflix?
Kick shame on the podcast that I'm making an exception. No multi-tit discourse from the 80s.
Kink shaming from John, as always.
So, yeah, Malcolm and Trip decide to go on an adventure because Trip can't find the computer. He gets really pissy about it.
Yeah, he's having a little nerd out, and just wants
my
to
my notes here say Florida man and token Brit pull down an air filter because the grating to that the cooling duct is just a HVAC air filter that I see everywhere in these parts.
Oh my god! And I do love that. Like, white. Yeah, I do love that. Like, it takes all of Trip's effort to like pull Malcolm to push. It takes all of Malcolm's effort to get Trip up into the duct, and then Trip pulls him up with one hand.
Oh.
Which is just like, either Trip's got gays we don't know about, or Malcolm is the twinkiest twink imaginable.
I'd like to accept both of those as reality. I think that's both great.
We have, you know, amongst our own quitters, we have several Enterprise aficionados who could tell us how twinky exactly Malcolm Reed is.
An academic study.
Academic study. And then we get, the captain was Travis in the landing bay. Travis was also not wearing a shirt, which I'm just going to take, yeah.
I do have that noted here, just so you know, in my notes.
What?
My dad was in the room when that scene came on.
Let's all dwell on shirtless Travis for a bit. Let's give it
a second. Everybody take a sec. If you are of the orientation to enjoy shirtless Travis. Please take a second to appreciate it.
It's very shiny. They definitely had to make sure
they had it was shiny enough. Up, which,
so we would notice job. It.
They shined it up and waxed them down, which...
So it was someone's job to shine those abs. And
somebody, it was someone's job to shine Anthony Montgomery's abs, and jealous.
That was a simultaneous jealous. I this is so upsetting because I see Travis, I love him, and I got excited. I couldn't really remember what happened, so I was like, oh, we're gonna have some Travis content in the episode. Never mind.
He just
well, he was dies. Shirtless. His shirtlessness was more personality than he ever got before this.
Yeah.
And I appreciated it. And then he's dead.
Immediately dead.
Well, actually, before he's dead, Trip and Malcolm get beamed onto the bridge, which is hilarious.
And then I just love how Paul just leans over her console and, you know...
Like, I love that she thought even like, how did you get here?
She just knows they're up to some stupidness. She's so over them.
The hijinks are afoot, and she's not really up for it.
She really hates them. I'm still on season two of Enterprise. Don't judge me. But like, when does this romantic entanglement happen? She really has this strong disdain. I guess they have disdain for each other, both humans and the Vulcans. I just don't see why
they were bonded by the harshness of the expanse and Vulcan acupuncture and Rick Berman.
Berman.
Worst crime.
Berman.
The greatest villain ever of Star Trek.
Yeah, I was thinking again today about Quit Star Trek merch, and it might just be a list of Trek villains, so like Khan, Chang. Borg Queen, Ducat, Berman. Just on the list of top five Trek villains. Just like Ducat, then Berman.
For sure. That is, yeah, that seems accurate. Wait, actually, Berman. Do I want Berman above Ducat? Oh, this is a lot for me.
If you Berman should be rated as the worst Trek villain, then Gul Ducat, at us at Quit Star Trek Pod.
I would like to know.
Important knowledge. So, Travis is dead, which sucks. Archer is basically goes and yells at everybody. And he goes and yells at the computer. And the computer's really pissy to him. So he punches the screen, which...
Valid.
Any damage will be charged to your vessel.
Oh, fuck that.
It honestly, him yelling at the computer is very much like trying to talk to an automated customer service thing. When he was doing that whole thing, I can... Like, you're trying to do the voice recognition thing, and you're like, representative, and it's just not real recognizing your voice. And like, that's all like a picture of Archer doing right there.
It's also peak Archer, because, you know, Jim Kirk would have blown up, and he wouldn't have punched the screen. And I was just punching the fucking screen. It's like, Jesus Christ, Jonathan.
And he doesn't also, even damage anything.
Yeah, and Scott Bakula's kind of not into it. Like, he's not really getting into punching the screen. He's just kind of elbowing it. It's really strange.
Yeah.
Then we get Travis's post-mortem, which is... And Hoshi comes and talks about it. And it's one of those great scenes where it's like, wow, these are some really great characters Enterprise could have created if it had given a fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just hearing an anecdote about Travis is just really upsetting because like, maybe we could have a bit of this on screen. It wasn't that compelling, but just to give him some more time to, you know, build something around him.
Yeah, we got more character from watching Hoshi and Travis have lunch in the background of Malcolm and Tripp's conversation than we did from any like interaction with Travis in reality. And he's such an interesting character. I mean, beyond his... physicality. Imagine how hot he'd be if he had a personality. We have this discussion a lot. But you know, he's a boomer. He grew up in space. He's been to a lot of places none of these people have been for before they deal the Enterprise. He knows how space works. And we just don't, they don't do anything with that. Like in one episode, we just learned he likes rock climbing. And it's like, okay, great. Is that going to come up again? Of course not. Why do they raise Travis on shit? Like, I mean, we get he likes jokes and he made Hoshi's try to interpret the language of some strawberry gelatin.
Yeah.
This is funny. And then we find out that it's not Travis.
Thank God.
It's the replicated Travis, which is kind of worse.
Insane. Oh yeah, he's a replicated version. And vaccines save the day because that's how Dr. Phlox finds out. Very timely.
Go Phlox.
King Phlox.
King Phlox. Say it as well.
Wait, what?
Everyone's gonna say King Phlox. You know the rules.
King Phlox. King Phlox.
King Phlox. King Phlox.
Where's the enthusiasm for John? For Billingsley?
Yeah, you know, we know he listens. We obviously know that John Billingsley is a regular listener to our podcast. Absolutely. And definitely has not forgotten who we are already.
I like this next scene that we have where Trip's just, because the Trip starts trying to speak to the computer. We're getting the no inquiry thing. He just has very big Florida energy trying to speak to the manager.
I'm very upset funny. With your work here.
You ain't no shit. It's incredibly funny. And he then, I mean, then like he goes like, while he's doing it, they climb into the ducts and Malcolm gets beamed to the bridge again. He looks so like, oh, here we go. And then Archer and T'Pol start to do some property damage because that's how it works in Star Trek. And then Archer, like Trip starts whining. It's like, you know, on my planet, we have a phrase: the customer is always right. And you know what? People say that Star Trek isn't a utopia. That's how you know it's not a utopia, because even in the 22nd century, people still say the customer is always right.
That's just
I watched the episode with my wife, and she said the exact same thing.
Kind of like, fuck you, Trip.
I just think we need to give Florida a little more time to catch up than the rest of the world.
Colonialism, but it's letting, but it's staying, it's keeping control of Florida until they catch up with the rest of civilization.
Florida.
We must govern Florida until it can govern itself.
Oh boy.
So yeah, Trip's going full Karen on this thing until Archer and T'Pol break into a very visible looking room full of people.
Yeah. A Borg-esque room full of unconscious people. It gets
plugged
weird
into the matrix.
About how many people were sort of...
There seemed to be a large number of people, as you say, were plugged into the matrix.
Yeah. And then
it's just...
Computer's being sort of passive-aggressive over the speakers, like... We will, something like, it's like threatening to destroy the vessel.
Yeah.
You are in an unauthorized area.
I thought it could have, could it not be beaming them out at that point? Oh, they
destroyed. They don't really have that yet.
Well, they did it to the others, but I don't know. It seems like it would have better defense mechanisms, but it just didn't.
Am I the only person who thought that this twist about the computer things came very late in the episode?
Yes.
Like,
it's like,
if this was TOS or TNG, they'd have moved the twist up to the end of Act 2.
Yeah, and like then they'd be trying to figure out some way to get people out.
Yeah. There'd be a this is the other weakness of Enterprise, I think, is that it's too busy trying to create a vibe that is non-existent.
Yeah, like well, once you get this point, like, you know, you're like less than 10 minutes left in the episode, and you're like, there's not much left to do here.
Yeah, it's like, are they gonna get everyone else out of it? No, clearly not, because they don't have the time to.
Yeah, they don't have the. Any other episode or any other series rather would, I feel like, it at least explore the fact that they sort of killed the rest of the people, even if they were potentially brain damaged or, you know.
There'd be an attempt to try and save more people.
Or at least a discussion about, was that okay? I don't know.
But no, here it's just like, yep, we got Travis, we're out. Kaboom!
I mean, it's kind of disgusting. Like, Archer pulls a cord out of him, like, blood starts spilling out, and it's like, what the fuck? He pulls another one out, and a green fluid comes out. I'm like, I really hope that isn't piss.
I watched that scene like several times. Like when Archer pulls the first one out, he turns the thing directly to Travis and it sprays all over him.
It's like, I guess we're gonna put the blood back in. Come on, in you go. It's insane. It's an interesting I'll have this argument at the end.
Yeah.
Because then they get Travis and then they get back to the ship and Malcolm blows the fucking station up.
Is this when it starts ripping apart the ship? It's gone full revenge. It knows you're messing with it. It starts ripping apart the ship. Hoshi refers to umbilical cord, and I'd like to know from you two what the hell that means. The ship has an umbilical cord?
Oh, it's basically it would be a hardware software connection. So there'd be a
like in science
fiction. It's a USB.
Anytime like a spaceship is docked in science fiction, there's always some sort of umbilical. So it's sort of like a semi-loose cable that's delivering power or whatever to the ship. And it's
gross.
You know if you charge your phone of your laptop?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that.
So it's a USB. Just say that, Hoshi.
It's a space USB.
Wow.
But you know, in science, you got to remember that most spaceflight technology was invented by two kinds of people: nerds who've never been outside and don't know the touch of women, and Nazis.
Oh God!
There is a crossover between the two, but those are the only two options. Nerds and Nazis got us to the moon.
Pain.
And a bunch of completely batshit insane U.S. fighter pilots, but mainly nerds and Nazis. And black women.
Yes. Who did all the good math.
Who did all the good math, unlike the nerds and the Nazis.
Well.
There's no nerds and Nazis on Enterprise, don't you worry. Only gay people.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil Enterprise for Olivia, but
there are so many things that
she said so far that I'm like,
I had
to hold my mouth.
I just remember something happened
with the Nazis in Enterprise. I feel like I've just heard it, but I don't know what that means. I don't know when they arrive. I think you actually mentioned it to me earlier this week or something in a tweet. No, I still don't know what's happening. I look forward to that.
I'm looking forward to the Nazis.
Is it bad that that's when Enterprise starts having its really rise?
Is it in season
quality?
Two?
Season four.
Oh, God, I really just have to hurry up because I'm just in pain. I just need to just at least try make it to season three. Anyway.
So, yeah, Malcolm blows the station up and then he fires the torpedoes. And the graphic of the torpedoes is the most derpy ass looking thing. It sort of goes, shoop. It's like, it doesn't look dramatic at all. It sort of goes out and then immediately drops. I don't know why I'm trying to do this with my hand. Once again, audio format. You're just listening to the sound of me moving my hand across.
Once again, trying to make these sound effects ourselves.
And the hilarious thing is, Malcolm said that, I wouldn't trust firing a torpedo at this range. And, it has the most pathetic little tiny dinky explosion, to a mechanical arm that's physically attached to the ship. And, there's no consequences. It's like...
And then, the whole ship gets rattled up. I guess that's... Listen, he's British. He had to... I don't know.
He's British. He's going through enough.
He's suffering enough today. So eventually they break free and the station blows up. And we get... Archer literally goes, you look pretty good for a dead bitch. He literally just basically says that to Travis.
Is he flirting? I mean, we don't blame him.
I mean, we know I would. We don't have to have that discussion. Travis has trauma now. It's like, yeah, we thought you were dead, and then this machine tried to turn you into a computer.
He seems very chill about it.
I'll see you at breakfast on Friday.
He is mostly unnerved.
I'd be unnerved.
Yeah.
We, Maybe Travis has no personality because he hid from everybody, so he couldn't have a personality. Aww. He nearly got turned into a computer. That sucks.
And then at the very end, we have this very brief, like, 3-second scene of the station fixing itself. So it's the end. Question mark.
Oh, do we ever return?
Of course not. Ever. Of course not.
Never.
No, because if they return, they'd have to pay the writers of this episode again. They're not doing that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this episode is just, it's once again a lot of really interesting concepts that just don't go anywhere, either within the episode or without the episode.
It just makes me feel, it leaves me feeling empty, you know. Enterprise, I'm waiting. I enjoy the characters. So, like, unlike Voyager, where I'm not really enjoying the episodes or the characters and I'm just trudging along. That was very damning. But, like, I enjoy the characters on Enterprise more, and I just want, you know, I want the best for them. And it's so upsetting to know they just never reach their full potential.
I would have appreciated more of Travis not wearing a shirt.
You know what?
To be fair, if they did that, they'd probably have higher ratings.
Yeah. But I mean, just beyond that,
it was UPN.
It is another of these episodes that flirts with giving anyone who isn't Jonathan Archer a personality and fails.
But even Archer didn't have a personality for so long. Like, I remember when I was starting Enterprise being like, okay, so what does this guy stand for? What's his vibe? And that's like even into season two, I'm not quite sure. He's becoming something, but he has to do good.
So, according to Ziggy, so he can finally leap back home.
Wow.
Well, we knew there was going to be a Quantum Leap reference at some point. We should do the episode with Dean Stock, the one with Dean Stockwell, because it's actually kind of cringe.
Someone told me to sort of prepare myself for the Quantum Leap theme song. Is it anything near the energy of the Enterprise theme song? Because I just can't.
I can't remember. I'm usually good on TV show theme songs.
Is this going to be a positive surprise?
I don't know. I'm biased, but I'm a big fan of 80s theme songs. They had a certain energy that's just not done anymore.
Are there lyrics?
No.
Oh, then it's going to be fine.
There is a narration, though.
If you don't have any lyrics.
There is an intro narration, though.
Oh, no. Okay. No, it's
fine. Yeah, but the cool Star Trek has an opening narration.
That's true.
I did say I think that the Enterprise outro should have been Enterprise intro. It makes way more sense if you're saying at the end, it's been a long road. Don't just accost me with it in season one, episode one, and I'm obviously going to be traumatized. And I just, you know, I feel like that's the reason that Enterprise didn't get a fifth season. Anyway.
Well, from a moral perspective, you're wrong.
Moral perspective?
Faith of the Heart is good. From a technical perspective, the Archer scene, which they play at the end, the full version of it is the same length as the Enterprise opening.
Okay, so it's perfect.
So there's a distinct feeling I get that was written as the opening, and they went, no, we want... Because they tried to make Enterprise edgy at the beginning, like it wasn't called Star Trek Enterprise, it was just called Enterprise.
Which I just take as a personal affront. I wasn't even around, but, you know...
Everybody took it as a personal affront.
Yeah, that's so rude. Like, who do you want... Who do you want to be your fans?
And the font isn't even Star Trek style. It's dumb.
I mean, it was like, we don't want this to be seen as Star Trek. This is its own thing, you know, starting out in the Star Trek universe. And everybody's like, this is Star Trek. Why do you call it Star Trek?
How can you have the sort of series that starts it all and it's just not going to be called Star Trek?
You're very tired after ruining Star Trek for 13 years and your name is Rick
Berman.
And you just can't be able to think properly.
He has... Who does he like? What does he like about Star Trek?
Women.
Misogyny.
You asked the question, I gave you an answer. I'm sorry.
To have so much disdain for the series, anyway.
So, trivia. So this episode was directed by Roxanne Dawson.
Oh. Nice, I guess.
She not only directed the episode, but was the voice of the automated station. Which is nice of her. I guess. The writers said that this episode was an attempt to diverge from previous episodes of Star Trek, in which a ship is critically damaged in one episode and repaired in the next, with no mention of repair work. So they were like, let's do an episode where we show the repair work, which I guess is nice of them.
Sure.
But I don't know.
But like...
I'm not sure that
they don't do any of the repair work, so it's
they don't. So it doesn't actually add to it. Okay. I mean, it's and then like, oh, there's some nice, like, ooh, Easter eggs. Like Ensign Mayweather has a model of the Nomad probe from the Changeling, the TOS episode. We know that Travis Mayweather weighs 72 kilos, which good for him.
Great. More character building for Travis.
Well, that's the most character building factor about Travis Mayweather. He weighs 72 kilos. Yeah, that's it. There's not actually much trivia. This is just kind of a very flat episode. It's a bottle episode. And not a very good one. Yeah. Like, they could have done an episode which was just them trying to fix the ship in space and how hard that was.
They can't. They don't have the... I was going to say, I don't know what they're lacking. Maybe it's the skill of the writers to have an episode that would be interesting that's conveying that. I don't know what they're missing. Just remove Berman and you'll probably figure it out. I don't know.
They're kind of already out of energy, like four episodes into season two.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. It's just like, no energy.
This is, I even forgot this was only four episodes in. It's even more of a disgrace. Now I'm angry. You can't be this
four episodes into season two. Yeah, it's
early in.
Yeah, it's quite something. I mean, you know, last week we were like, why do we never get the Enterprise episodes? And this is why, because nothing actually happens. It's like Lost in Translation.
I just have this thing also with Enterprise that like, I don't even want to beat them while they're down. They never got going, and I'm just trying to find something about them.
Like, there are some wacky episodes. Like, I'm sure with someone will get the lucky opportunity to do a night in sick bay, which,
Okay, well, Phlox-centered episodes are great, but we only get, like, five of them, apparently.
Yeah, I'm trans only in it, like, three times. And...
Oh, when's the mirror? Can I skip to the mirror episode?
No, well, yes, actually, because there's no relevance to the other plots whatsoever.
So I can do that, because I
It actually has a direct reference to TOS.
Even better. That's what I want.
Also have some really, really bad CGI, but we'll live with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, then they have that terrible CGI Gorn. That was sort
of... Yeah, that's not...
It's okay. It was too
Are you kids forever. These days? I remember terrible CGI. I remember back when Babylon 5 premiered.
Babylon 5 CGI is just kind of... admirable from the sense that considering they did all of that with CGI work, it hasn't aged as badly as I thought it would.
But you know what has aged badly? Beast Wars Transformers.
What is that? Beast Wars Transformers?
It was a full CGI cartoon for Transformers, where they, instead of changing into cars, they change into animals. And this was like circa 94 CG on a kid's TV show budget. Like,
I'm looking at it now. Wait, they've remade it. This can't be it. It's in 1980. That sounds like a fake name that I'd say in a joke. Beast Wars Transformer. It's like when I say Battles War Trektacular or something.
I think I broke John here.
He's crying.
Because I know what you're talking about. I just remember the CGI.
I'm trying to find like pictures of it, and it's just like all pictures of actual toys.
Yeah, the toys look better.
The toys are fine, but I'm just, where's the pain? Okay, let me just get CGI.
Just look for Beast Wars credits or intro.
I'm scared.
Don't know if this will be the final cut. We'll find out.
Probably. Okay, why is it not loading? My phone doesn't want me to see this because...
It's trying to protect you.
It's like, do you remember... Oh, gosh, John, are you too young for Sharkboy and Lava Girl?
No, I know Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't look like green.
Oh, God, put it away.
Yeah, it looks like a, I don't know, a PlayStation. PlayStation graphics.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Okay. I'm lost in doors.
I'm quitting because this is just dumb. And it made me upset about... I don't even think Topless Travis could keep me watching. It's just kind of like, I just wouldn't watch... That doesn't... It wasn't interesting enough to keep watching.
Really thought Topless Travis would keep you here.
No, because, I mean, if I was like, I might see Topless Travis again next week, maybe, but I'm not. He's never coming back.
So it's more heartbreak, really. It's just a reminder that you don't get.
I mean, I'm quitting too, because technically I did quit Star Trek. Like, this was the first episode I saw of Enterprise. And then I stopped watching Star Trek after that.
Oh my God.
Poor Enterprise. I'm quitting because, I mean, I was probably going to quit anyway. But when you reminded me that it's only four episodes in, it's just, did you even try? Just lackluster, a lackluster episode. So I gotta go. Enterprise. Left us feeling dejected.
Do we even want a trip nip? I don't want a trip nip this week.
It doesn't even get a trip nip.
It has two Travis nips though.
That's true. Those were good. I like those.
Don't mar Travis with his alien mutant. I just feel like I want to keep him separate from the curses of Tripnips, but it's too late. It's too everything's late. Ruined. Tripnips forever.
Oh my gosh. Like, the fact that this was just a bottle episode, it raised so many potential questions about several other things that are never addressed again.
Of course, it just
lingers.
It's like, very much in the Enterprise, in the long-standing late-stage Berman Trek stance of, well, nevertheless. Whereas, like, you bring up an interesting concept, like, in worst case scenario, ooh, what if the Marquis had actually not wanted to be on the ship? Or, you know, ooh, what if the Enterprise out in the NX-01 had to deal with the fact they couldn't do repairs? And it's like, that's an interesting concept. More tea, Vicar? That's basically how it is. It's like, no, I doesn't give a shit.
Like, at the end of the episode, like, the big thing is, like, that just boggled my mind is, so assuming the Tellarites were acting in good faith, that means that this is like a known repair station that's been sitting out here for who knows how long, just people about like trading the repair ships and just, you know, abducting people and plugging them into the Matrix, and it takes Archer and crew to figure out that it's like, oh, this is no good. Like, how many other like people's like,
maybe,
oh,
they mark it with a hazard beacon at some point. So, you know, a hazard beacon is like, by the way, this station will try and steal your crew.
Oh, but no one put that out. It's just there.
Maybe it's like they feel it's a fair trade. You were going to be stranded for 10 years and we take one guy. Yeah, we messed up because we took the hottest guy. But
that's true.
We did this all for you, basically for free. Well, there was a plasma, but whatever.
Of course, you get a Ryan ship in there, and they're like, you know, like, can we offer some of our cargo / people?
Green stockfishes. I don't know.
You know, this is a side note. You know that in the FASA guides, the Orion slave trade is referred to as the green slave trade.
Oh, no.
It's just cursed. Everything about the FASA guys is a bit cursed.
To be fair, they always refer them to the Orion slave women until Enterprise. They show up on Enterprise. because like they never fleshed them out. They were just, you know, hot green space babes for Pike to be enticed on, you know.
Well, the thing that always gets me about that is I watched The Cage recently because somebody asked about it. I was like, I should just watch The Cage. And the sense I always get from Pike being like, I could be an Orion trader, is he's just basically going, I could do whatever the fuck I want. And when Boyce is like, you, selling slaves, he's basically going, oh, I didn't think you were a complete shithead. And then when Lee Talos is showing the fantasies, because he's been thinking about it, and he's like, because he looks so, like, completely horrified by it. I don't know. I don't know if I'm just being nice to Spike because he's our space dad, but...
Space dad wouldn't run the slave trade, surely.
He just owns shares in a slave trade.
Yeah. Morally ambiguous at best.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're quitting. Yeah. Yeah, now I remember why we don't do Enterprise a lot. But I'm glad we got to, because we got to discuss why it sucks. It's been great. Thank you so much, Worm. Do you have anything to plug while I contemplate death?
Do I have anything to plug? No, not really. I mean, I guess you can find me in your mentions, because I will, anytime you posit a Star Trek thought experiment, I have terrible ideas I like to throw at you.
Yeah, they make me think. I like them.
Yeah, it's what I do on a regular basis. You know, it's like, what about this about Star Trek?
So. That's what we're here for. You know, some Star Trek podcasts give you the best, most interesting, how great it is. We're here to ask, why did we not see more of Travis Mayweather's naked chest?
I thought you were going to say, we're here to offer you the worst.
No, we're here to ask, well, we offer the worst as well, but that, I was thinking positively. But if you want to send us a message and ask, why is John so horny for Travis Mayweather this week, you could find us at Quit Star Trek Pod, or email us at iquitstartrek@gmail.com, where, I don't know, you can attempt to send me to horny jail. I don't know. I might
come. Can I just posit sort of another sort of image for you? Travis in the Masakaverse, wearing the mask, wearing the tinfoil mask.
Last week, there was a moment on my birthday where I thought you had paid real money to get a picture of Bo in the mask, and I was in fear. I was scared.
It was the original plan until I thought about it for a single second.
The moment you thought about what you were spending money on.
When it like... took, when I thought of, you know, messaging for that request, I just couldn't bring myself to do that.
Even you, queen of the masks, cannot bring yourself to that.
It doesn't mean that mask isn't iconic. It's just I was going to, you know, do this one kindness for you. But, you know, you should really just appreciate masks more, TNG's masks. It is.
I will say that having met Olivia in person, it's been 7 months, and we can announce that me and Olivia have been in our in physical presence of each other, and Terry, and others. And I was disappointed that Olivia did not show up in mask for Masaka.
I should have actually made one. It's not even that hard. All I need is tinfoil. I could make that now.
Let's not do that. I will point out she was also in heels, so we can tell how much taller I was than her.
No, okay. Listen, all I own are...
All you own is heels. All you own is heels. Sure. And,
you know, I'm going to let the Twitterverse sort of, as we open up, you know, get us get out of this lockdown, you'll see the collection. Don't worry. Don't worry, everyone.
They were, I will admit, very nice red heels, but they did make Olivia look taller than God made her.
I guess I have to corroborate this. You know, John is actually tall, and I know this is devastating for all of us. But
yes,
it's not a lie. I'm so upset.
I am just actually large.
Anyway.
It was vindication on my part. I will find. But yeah, we've met in person. This is no longer a podcast that only exists through our screens. We've been horrible to each other in person now.
Imagine if we just get reviews and everyone's like, the magic's gone, something changed, and it's wrong now.
You don't hate each other as much. But yeah, so thank you so much, Worm, for coming on and discussing Dead Stop, which but certainly an episode of Star Trek Enterprise.
Thank you for having me.
And until next time, folks, I've been John.
I've been Olivia.
And I'm Worm.
And we'll catch you all next time.